When I was 19, I went on an extreme mission trip. That's what they called it. It was a four-week trip to Peru. And the thing that made it extreme was that we went to increasingly remote locations as we went with our big backpacks. There were probably a dozen of us, college-age kids and leaders. And as I reflect back, I'm thinking about the logistics of hosting 12 American college students in increasingly remote locations in Peru. Not so bad in Lima, the capital, right? We had a hotel and transportation, and there are chicken and French fry restaurants on every corner. We went up to the mountains, and not so bad along the way, a church hosted us and took us in, and we slept in their gymnasium, as you do, and they made us an amazing plated dinner, all dozen of us. We got to the church in the mountains, and again, the pastor opened his home and housed and fed us for an entire week, including when I got a stomach bug, which was not fun. Then we traveled further into the jungle, and again, we stayed at the pastor's house, sleeping on the floors wherever there was space, and this time we shared food that we brought with us as well. Further into the jungle, extreme, a place that supposedly had never hosted Americans before. We had a roof over our heads and feasted with their community in the dark because there was no electricity. Even in the furthest reaches where we traveled, we wanted for nothing because brothers and sisters in the Lord embraced us and sheltered us and gave us feasts. That is just a small taste of the radical hospitality that is to be a primary characteristic of the Christian community according to the scriptures. If you looked at the e-update this week, this theme will not surprise you. I told you this was what the sermon would be about. We're looking at the theme of radical hospitality in today's passages. It's one of our kind of values that we're working with at Church of the Redeemer. Welcome is something we already value. We will say we want people to feel welcome. Often they do. It is also something we aspire to. Today's scriptures expand our vision for the what, the why, and the how of hospitality as we learn to follow Jesus here and now. So I'm going to start with a little bit of elaboration on what hospitality entails in scripture and in Christian tradition, a little bit, and then explore, it says three, I think I changed, no, I have three. Three, classic sermon, three characteristics of Christian communities that practice radical hospitality. So a little bit of what it is, and then what does it look like? What motivates it? So first, what is Christian hospitality, and what makes it radical? So when you hear the word hospitality, you might think, what? Maybe after church, hospitality hour, right? Where there's food, conversation, and a shared space. Usually there's people we kind of already know or have some connection with. Something that maybe feels nice or maybe feels awkward if you're an introvert, but is meant to build social connection and usually doesn't cost us too much. Maybe it feels like, it's just something we do after our worship, a little bit of an add-on. Not so in Scripture. It is an essential part of following Jesus. Paul, in his letter to Rome, in Romans chapter 12, says, pursue hospitality. Go after it. You see, our Hebrews passage today, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. A number of the lists of requirements for Christian leaders in the New Testament, including bishops, is that they be hospitable. I'm going to refer quite a few times today, probably too many times, to a book by Christine Pohl. It's a classic book written about 25 years ago, updated recently, called Making Room, that explores Christian hospitality. And she names at least three markers of Christian hospitality, of what it means, what it looks like. First, provision. Provision for the physical needs, especially of a stranger. So think about things like food, shelter, protection, all those things that these Christian communities in Peru gave to us as we came along. So you think about those of us with resources. We can travel without having to rely on just the total goodwill of strangers most of the time. We can purchase hotel rooms. We can go to restaurants. We can look up the maps on our phone. So unless you maybe have gotten lost in a foreign country or been through a natural disaster or car trouble somewhere on the road, many of us are unlikely to know what it means to be a vulnerable stranger in need of help. In ancient times, all strangers depended on someone else's hospitality when they were on the road. It's no accident, I think, that early Christians looked at the scriptures and said, we're supposed to provide for strangers. Out of that came hostels, even the first public hospitals, as an extension of radical hospitality, of providing and provision and relief of physical needs for all who came through. So provision is one component. But the second is friendship. It's not just, here, I'm going to write you a check and send you on your way. It's not just, here's some food and I'm going to shut you in this room and not talk to you. It's an extension of personal fellowship with the stranger. So you see a lot of this host and guest language in the scripture and what Jesus is even doing today. It's about fellowship and friendship. For however time you're with me, you're going to be part of my circle of relationships. You're far away from your circles, far away from your friends, your family. You get to be part of mine. We talk about table fellowship, where it's an offer of relationship, not just food. This is kind of what distinguishes hospitality from like being a benefactor. There's a mutuality instead of it just kind of being a one-sided thing. Provision, friendship, and third, status. Because hospitality recognizes the dignity, worth, and shared humanity of the one sharing the table with me, of the stranger. And it is this that makes Christian hospitality radical. Christine Pohl quotes one of the people she interviewed that is practicing hospitality in radical ways. This person said, "Hospitality is resistance, especially when the larger society disregards or dishonors certain persons. Small acts of respect and welcome are potent far beyond themselves. They point to a different system of valuing and an alternate model of relationships." And you can see that certainly in what Jesus is talking about in Luke 14 today, that there are different ways of valuing people in the Christian framework. Therefore, when we invite people to the table, we invite people into a shared status and dignity alongside us. Provision, friendship, status. So faithful Christian communities will practice radical hospitality that extends those things, provision, friendship, and status, to the strangers that we encounter. Easy to say, tough to do. So let's turn our focus now to today's scriptures and the three characteristics of Christian communities that practice radical hospitality, things that both motivate and sustain this hard thing that Jesus has been asking us to do. So first, Christian communities that practice radical hospitality remember that God's radical hospitality came first. That God's radical hospitality came first. This shouldn't surprise us. God always comes first, right? In creation, God invites us into life itself. We did not have life apart from the Lord. And it's life that is an extension of that fellowship of the triune God. Think about this radically hospitable world in which we live. Of all the things out there in the universe that we can see so far, this is the only one that is hospitable to us, in which there is provision for our needs, in which God walks with us in the garden and creates us in his image, provision, friendship, status. That's in creation. Later, when God's people experience radical inhospitality in Egypt, God rescues them, protects them, guides them to a place, a land filled with abundance, gives them status as his people. You can see in our Jeremiah passage and the Psalm today, this radical hospitality in the land. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I rescued you from Egypt and brought you to this land of abundance. What are you doing? How are you forgetting that? Scripture really portrays the land as God's land and the law as God's rules as the host in the land. And the law over and over commands Israel, remember, you were strangers and now you are my guests. You are in my land. So treat the stranger among you with the hospitality I've shown you. Then we come to Jesus, who is the host of the kingdom. Christine Pohl writes, those who turned to Jesus found welcome and rest and the promise of reception into the kingdom. Jesus welcomed people into God's presence. Jesus portrays the kingdom in Luke 14, right after our passage for today, as what? A great banquet. to which who's invited? Everyone. But the people who come are the least of these, the ones who were strangers, the ones who were far away. Those are the ones who are welcomed into the kingdom. And so we are to invite them too. Basically, Jesus is saying, welcome the people I welcome. Perhaps the greatest act of radical hospitality in the scripture is Jesus's death. Paul writes, Jesus gave his life so that persons could be welcomed into the kingdom. And in so doing, linked hospitality, grace, and sacrifice in the deepest and most personal way imaginable. When we were strangers and even enemies of God, Christ died for us. We who were strangers have now been adopted into God's family. We who had nothing are now heirs of the kingdom and citizens, all by God's grace and through God's radical hospitality in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is what we remember every week in the Eucharist, that Christ is the host, we are the guests. He gives us from his own body provision. He is a friend alongside us in the Lord, and we have a new status as children of God, provision, friendship status. All of these are ours only by God's radical hospitality. So remember, we worship a radically hospitable God, and we reflect who God is when we do likewise. Second, Christian communities that practice radical hospitality love the stranger out of love for Jesus. We've talked about Jesus as the radically hospitable host of the kingdom, but a lot of his time on earth he spent as a guest, including in our passage today. He walked among us on earth as a stranger far from home, completely dependent on the hospitality of his fellow human beings. Think about Mary, his mother, and the angel asks, will you receive him into your womb and care for him? Yes. Radical hospitality in her own body. Joseph, his father, will you adopt him as your own? Yes, I will protect him as if he were my very own. And Jesus, as a grown man with no home, no wealth, no earthly status to offer, Jesus intentionally placed himself in the position of the poor and the stranger, at the mercy of the hospitality or lack thereof of others. So if you've ever wondered what it would be like to host Jesus for dinner, guess what? You can find out. Because Jesus says whenever we show radical hospitality to the stranger in our midst, we show it to him. Matthew 25, right? When you offer someone water, when you visit someone in prison, when you feed or shelter someone in need, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. Hebrews, show hospitality to strangers, not just sibling love, but stranger love, because some have welcomed angels in that way. And again, Luke 14, welcome the people who are lower status than you, who can't reciprocate, who aren't able-bodied, who can't contribute to the building fund. When you welcome them, you act like the Lord does, and you welcome me. Love the stranger out of love for Jesus, who walked among us as a stranger far from home. So perhaps by this point you're asking the question, who is the stranger? Who is the stranger in our day? This question reminds me of the question we heard in the lectionary earlier this summer, who is my neighbor? Who is the stranger? Well, who is my neighbor? It's interesting, there's a lot of people in church history who've written about Christian hospitality, including Calvin, John Calvin. I'll be honest, I don't tend to think of John Calvin when I think about hospitality. That might just be me. But he was dealing with an influx of religious refugees in Geneva. Right? This is the Reformation going on, and Protestants are being persecuted. It's kind of a mess all over the place. And Geneva was a bit overwhelmed with these religious refugees that had descended, with all of the tensions, the social tensions that come with that. Calvin, in the midst of that, was a staunch defender of showing Christian hospitality. He identifies the stranger by two things. He says, folks who are, for the most part, destitute of all things, in need, and being far away from their friends. That combination of need and then lack of social standing or social position and protection and status that social networks provide. Pohl, Christine Pohl, elaborates that strangers are people without a place. To be without a place means to be detached from basic life-supporting institutions, family, work, polity, religious community, without networks of relations that sustain and support human beings. Just give a side note, sometimes when I'm worried about money or I realize, okay, like, worst comes to worst, like, I have my parents, we have Eric's parents, we have our community here, like, we have these networks of people that if we are in need, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be alone in that. Stranger does someone who does not have that. People without a place, who are without financial resources, are the most vulnerable people. Christine Pohl, this is written in 1999, says this is the condition in which homeless people, displaced poor people, refugees, and undocumented persons find themselves. They not only lack supportive connections with other human beings, they are unable to purchase many of the basic necessities of life. In our world, money opens many doors, and strangers with resources, even if foreign-born, do not find themselves vulnerable in the same way as those who are impoverished. People without a place, people without people, people without stuff. Strangers in our midst. And guess who else is really a stranger in our day? Christians. We are those who live as resident aliens in the world. Our home, our citizenship is elsewhere. And it's precisely because we know how it feels to live as strangers far from home that we are to empathize and care for other strangers who are far from home. Hebrews 13:3 says, "View those in prison, those being mistreated or abused, as if you yourself were in prison or being abused." Christian communities that practice radical hospitality love the stranger out of love for Jesus. And third, Christian communities that practice radical hospitality will be blessed. God blesses those who show hospitality. Jesus says this point blank in Luke 14. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. It's nice when Jesus says exactly what he means. Though they can't repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Hebrews 13:15-16 says, our doing good and our sharing what we have, hospitality, is part of the sacrifices that are pleasing to God. It's an act of worship that God delights in. Part of the blessing, I think, as well, is because it takes us into deeper and greater trust that God, as our radically hospitable host, will provide for us. It's interesting to me, this passage in Hebrews that ties together things that might seem disconnected, but it's, you know, loving one another as siblings, loving the stranger, and then it's things like, be content with what you have, stay free from the love of money, which is a way of saying, you don't have to worry whether there's going to be enough. You have enough to share. Be content with what you have in terms of money and in terms of sexual partnership, in marriage, and chastity outside of it. Be content with what you have, trusting that God will provide. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. If God is our radically hospitable God who will never leave us and who is our helper, of course, we can afford to be generous. We can afford to be hospitable. God will provide. We can be confident that as we practice radical hospitality, we will be blessed. Sometimes I can remember my points off the top of my head, and sometimes I can't. Remember, God's radical hospitality came first. Love the stranger out of love for Jesus. Those who practice radical hospitality will be blessed. I have said a lot, and I have said not said so many things that you're wanting to hear. How does this relate to politics? How does this relate to the need for boundaries and the dangers of folks abusing hospitality and enablement and all of this stuff? You're right, I haven't said that. I commend Christine Pohl's book to you. I think the bottom line for us that I want to hear is that radical hospitality is a must for Christian communities. You can't call something Christian if it's not willing to love the stranger. Radical hospitality is also a powerful antidote to the increasing nihilism of our day and age. Christine Pohl, again, I told you I was going to quote her a lot today. There's an ethicist named Philip Halley, who spent years after World War II studying how did that happen, studying the human capacity for evil and good. And he concluded that the opposite of cruelty is not simply freedom from the cruel relationship, it is hospitality. The opposite of cruelty is hospitality. And that communities that practice radical hospitality, Christine Pohl finds, rather than being overwhelmed by heartlessness and need, understand their welcome to strangers as little moves against destructiveness. Little moves. Many things in our news feeds we can do nothing about. But there are many things here and now, face to face, where little moves can make a difference. So as I close, I'm going to name three of these little moves that we can practice here and now as we follow Jesus. Briefly, we can practice gratitude, naming the gifts God has given us over and over and over again. God's provision, God's friendship, God's status. I'm grateful that we have our sacrament that is called Thanksgiving, Eucharist, where we get to remember that week after week after week. Remember what we have received. Drink it in. Soak it in. Give back to God our gratitude. Practice gratitude. We can practice noticing. Many times, in the way our world is set up now, those who are strangers are actually kind of invisible to us. Remember that need and those fragile social connections. Just practice noticing. Who's the stranger right around you? Who has less status, money, connections? Who's more vulnerable than you? Just start with noticing, seeing, and then asking God to do what is next. Practice gratitude, practice noticing, and then just practice sharing. Practice sharing freely. You know, I think one of the things that for me gets in the way of this stuff is, well, how do I know this person isn't taking advantage of me? Or like, how do I know if I really have enough to give? I don't know. This is, you know, how Paul says, this is I, not the Lord. Okay, this is me. What I'm trying to start doing is that if I pass someone in the street and I have something, I'm going to give it. I haven't talked to this guy about it. I probably should. Talk to this guy, not this guy. Just practice it. You just never know. We can have good boundaries and things, and you know, Ethan and I talk about the people who come in time after time for benevolence. Anyway, just practice sharing. Practice not worrying if you have enough. Practice asking yourself, what if this was Jesus right in front of me? And even take yourself into places where you see those folks. Just practice. Practice, practice, practice. Practice doesn't make perfect. It does make progress. Practice hospitality, and we will be blessed. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, I think about the prayer of humble access, that we were not worthy to come under your roof. We had nothing to commend ourselves to you, not worthy even to eat the crumbs under your table. You had mercy on us and welcomed us in and clothed us and fed us and sat us in fine garments as your child. We have everything we need and more. Show us, Lord, how to be that kind of generous, hospitable people here and now. Show us what this means for undocumented citizens or undocumented immigrants. Show us what it means, Lord. Show us what it means for folks who are in prison. Show us what it means for unhoused individuals. Show us what it means for the people right around us. Show us what it means in this era of partisanship and fighting and conflict and cruelty. Show us how to be hospitable as you are hospitable. We thank you that your Spirit can show us, and we are not alone. You will never leave us nor forsake us. The Lord is our helper. What can man do to us? We give you great thanks and praise in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.